reading from the Holy Gospel of Matthew. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does it really mean when someone says, "You took the words right out of my mouth"? If we stop to think about it, isn't it fascinating that these kinds of occurrences happen at all? Minds do indeed come together in wordless exchange, and somehow the right message gets transmitted. With both the gospel and the first reading today as acting as a presage, we have a wonderful homage to the Word, the one Word, Jesus, the Logos incarnate, proceeding from the one God, doing God's will, still more, being God's will. In early Christological development, Ignatius of Antioch called Jesus the Father's mouthpiece. One could say that the incarnation takes the wordless out of the Father's mouth and makes it into a word. And the perfection of communion between Father and Son is expressed today in the perfect prayer that is given by the Lord. No word is out of place or superfluous, but rather deliberate and with flawless intentionality. Far from babbling, Jesus reveals a measured prayer that honors the truth of God's intimate knowing of each individual and their occasionality. The Father indeed takes the words right out of our mouths and answers all of the anguished pleas and hopeful supplication in the form of a person. And it is this person that stands before the disciples 2,000 years ago and encounters our hearts with equal immediacy today and gives the ultimate fertile prayer that will always make our prayer fruitful. That fertility is the very essence of the Logos. Jesus, in being generative in mission and in contemplation, is being true to the Logos' nature. The Lord's Prayer that is given in the Gospel is not just uttered from the Logos, but we could say part of the Logos itself. It completely honors earthly reality and how humanity should both navigate the complexities of creation and be in right relationship with the Creator. It reveals the magnitude of the gift of free will and how we can either block or allow the flow of grace in our lives. So, lest I be like the pagans, as the poor Gentiles are referred to in less flattering translations, and think that this reflection's effectiveness is in proportion to its length, let me simply end with a note of praise. Praise for the absolute fruitfulness of God in the person of Jesus, and in the words given from the one word. We most deeply pray for our survival, for reconciliation within our own soul and between our sisters and brothers, for peace and love to reign here on earth, to reign as if amidst a perfect kingdom. We know the Logos by its fruits. And darn if Jesus didn't take the words right out of our mouth.